Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And on today's episode, we are talking fitness trends.
Awesome.
And more specifically, the fitness trends for 2018, because we know we are now into January, and I don't know about you, but my gym was so packed, but now it's starting to slowly die down again.
Already? That's crazy.
Oh yeah, I read a statistic that New Year's resolutions, people end up quitting them within 10 days of starting.
Why even begin, people?
I know. And I know the intention is there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we obviously talk a lot about this on the podcast, but shifting that mindset from like a short-term fix, like this is going to be your lifestyle.
Exactly. I think that that's probably, when I say why even begin, people, I mean it more like, you know, unless you're willing to really commit to it and commit to it long-term and not be looking for those like quick results. Cause I think that that's probably, especially when it comes to health and fitness, I think that's probably why most people quit 10 days in or whatever, is probably just because they're like, I'm not seeing any changes, you know, and they get impatient, because that's kind of our nature of who we are in today's society, is that we want things now. We want things quick. Like think about like Twitter and stuff like everything's like short, fast, digestible things that we want results now. And if we don't see it, then we just give up and move on kind of thing. And I think there needs to be more commitment.
Well, yeah, and I actually did a very interesting interview. We have our amazing Fit Chicks Academy a Women's Transformation Summit coming up. So for anyone listening, check out fitchicksacademy.com. There's a free opt-in. It is a five-day summit with a ton of amazing speakers on fitness, nutrition, wellness, mindset, because we want to really be a part of getting all of you guys into the right frame of mind and onto like feeling like you got the tools to be able to make 2018 the year you build your best body inside and out. And I had an amazing interview with Una Duncan, who's featured, and she's talking about how to actually create healthy habits. So not just like, oh, do this, do that, but like how to actually reframe your brain to create these. So it was a really, really good info in there. So back to the fitness trends. So these are actually the top 10. So every year, the American College of Sports Medicine, they publish in their Health and Fitness Journal their top 10 fitness trends for the upcoming year. And I find it very fascinating because really what the difference is too is they distinguish the difference between a trend and a fad. So we've all heard about the fads, you know, like, I don't even know, like that shaker thing you stand on, or like, you know, there's certain workouts that are suddenly like the total fads. Like, what was one of them I recently saw?
Well, there's like fads, like, I don't know, like the trampoline and water fads and like stuff like that. That's just kind of like, it's almost like things that just don't really catch on in a way.
Well, like you do it, it's one of those things, like you do it as a class once, you're like, that was cool, but you're not going to turn it into like a really long-term part of your fitness regime. Like you're literally just like, oh sweet, I did this with my girls. I went like surfing in a pool.
Yeah.
You know, like, but that's where the difference is. So a trend, they define it as having more lasting power than a fad, which a fad is typically met with like a lot more enthusiasm. So people are super pumped about it, but it lasts for a really short period of time.
Yeah, and it fills us out really quick.
Yeah, and as we know in fitness, you got to be in it for the long-term game. So you want to always be thinking about the workouts and the things that have the lasting power, as opposed to jumping on a quick fad, because you'll fall off it just as quick as you jump on. So that's why
like the quick fad diets, right?
Exactly.
Like that's the whole reason why the quick fad diets, those like quick fixes of like, you know, the low carb and the, or like the, I don't know, like the cabbage soup diet and all that kind of stuff. They're just fads, because it's like, you're not going to live that way forever, people.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, so we're going to go through some of these. We're going to talk about some of our favorites. But essentially what they are is there's a lot of classes or a lot of different workouts or current programs out there that are underneath these trends, but they're talking about kind of like the trend in general. So do you know what number one is, Amanda?
Yeah, of course. And it's where it should be, which is high intensity interval training.
I feel like we almost should have started at 10 and count down to one. Like, let's count down to
No, but I think it's important that we highlight that this is the number one fitness trend. And the reason why it's the number one fitness trend is because it is a proven method to help you burn maximum amount of calories in a shorter amount of time. So it's like switching your mindset, really. I find HIIT training has been like this mindset shift for a lot of people. And I think that it continues to be because we're so accustomed to like, we have to go to the gym for an hour. We have to do cardio for an hour. We have to do everything for an hour. And it's just like, we're always stuck in this hour thing. Whereas with HIIT training, it's like you could do 20 minutes and you could be super effective. And I think that's why it's the biggest trend, because people are shorter on time. People don't want to dedicate hours and hours to going to the gym and being gym rats. And they want to have results. So in order to do that, HIIT training is your key.
Well, and I also think because this has actually been number one on the fitness trends for not just 2018, for 2017, for 2016.
Yeah.
Because people are seeing the results from it. It's not like, exactly. Oh, this was like a fad. Like, okay, HIIT training is cool right now. Like, no, the results are showing. And we've been doing this actually at FitChix in our bootcamp. It's a huge part of what we educate on in our fitness and nutrition expert program, which is coming up on March 28th. But it's a cornerstone of what we believe in to be the most effective for women. And again, because it's based on time, it's also based on hormonal balance. Like, it is better for your hormones to do shorter, more intense workouts. Now, of course, there's not one size fits all. There are some people who, if you have adrenal fatigue, or if you're recovering from injuries, high intensity interval training may not be the best bet, because of course, any exercise is putting stress on your body, right? Mm-hmm. But it's been seen so effective for reducing long-term stress hormone cortisol, because cortisol is released when we exercise, but it's only elevated for a shorter amount of time as opposed to like 60 minutes being elevated, which has more damage on the body. For a lot of women who are dealing with any type of hormonal issues, it's shown to be balancing that out. So
for sure.
I really like high intensity interval training. I like it in my own training. I like it for my clients. I like to teach it for other people to teach. I just think it's something that, and I think it makes your workouts more fun.
Because you're not just doing this one thing for like an hour.
Yeah. And if you're like, okay, I only have to go my max effort for 30 seconds, you know, there's all different patterns to high intensity interval training, but to be like, go 30 seconds and then I get, you know, a 45 or 60 second break, I'm all about it.
Totally. And I think just adding to the whole idea that you were saying about like adrenal fatigue and stuff like that, like even for myself, I found I was actually starting to gain weight and hold on to more visceral fat. So fat like around my stomach area and things like that a few years ago. And that's when I started doing a lot of long distance running. So I started doing 10K four times a week. That was like my thing. I just got really into it and I really liked it. And I found that I started holding on to more fat at that point on my body. And I think when I went to see a naturopath about it, we were talking a lot about it, and she specifically specialized in stress and adrenal fatigue. And so she was just like, you know, we got to stop that. We got to nix that, because not because it's not good for your health and your heart, but it's not good for your goals and for what it was that I was trying. And it was actually causing more stress in my body. So it really wasn't actually that good for me. So I actually had to cut down. If I wanted to run, I had to cut my runs down to under 30 minutes. She said ideally even under 20. If I was doing steady state, or I could just switch to doing high intensity intervals, but my high intensity intervals had to be 15 minutes or less.
Well,
so it's really about figuring out what is the best pattern for you and your body. And it might change, right? It might fluctuate with what's happening in your life, what's happening in your body, what's going on with your stress levels and everything else. Like, your workouts might shift according to that if you're really paying attention to what's happening.
And that's where it becomes, again, it's the whole, like, there is no one size fits all. Like, we will always say that to our students, like, mm-hmm. high intensity interval training is our favorite way to train. It's also, you know, these are the scientific benefits and blah, 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 blah. However, if you have a client who is XYZ, you know what I mean? Like, because we all are different and we all have different needs, different lifestyles, different backgrounds. And also the other thing too, is when it comes to hearing this high intensity interval, there's a lot of people, especially women out there, who get really scared by this and think, oh my gosh, like I'm really,
yeah. They're like, oh F, I can't do high.
Yeah, they're like, I'm really out of shape. Like I can barely even climb the stairs. Like I can't, without being totally winded, I can't do high intensity interval training. Well, you know what? You are doing it, because by climbing the stairs, and when you're getting to what we call your 9 out of 10, where you're breathing out of your mouth and you know, you can't stay there for longer than 30 seconds to a minute max, that's called high intensity interval training. So even you climbing the stairs and then walking your living room to take, you know, or walking your bedroom to take a recovery and breathe it out, that was just your first high intensity interval. So yeah. It doesn't mean you have to be jumping plyometrics, you know, skipping
or sprinting.
Everyone has a different 9 out of 10. So you just have to find out what yours is. And that could be, like I said, climbing the stairs. It could be going for a power walk, or it could be, you know, doing box jumps. Like, mm-hmm. Anyone can do it. It's just knowing what is your level. So don't be intimidated by the name high intensity interval training.
Make sure you just try it. Try it. See if it's a fit for you.
And there's a lot of programs and classes right now out there that are on that premise. So a lot of things like Orange Theory. Another one is in Toronto, I think it's called F5. It's new, but it's the same thing. It's all about working within your zone, working within your levels of intensity. Mm-hmm. Which leads to our second trend, which is
group training.
So that's where the group training, and especially the high intensity group training, that's where we're seeing a massive trend.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, that could be anything from boot camps to boxing, cycling, rowing, anything that is basically just like a group setting. And I think the reason why that this is such on target for being one of the biggest trends is because people are recognizing that working out with other people can make you more committed, make you more accountable. And it also pushes you more, because when you're in a group setting, like when you're working out at home or on your own or doing your own thing, it's easy for you to, like, you know, turn the treadmill down a couple of notches or to, like, not maybe go as heavy or things like that. But if you're in a group setting, you always, like, even if you're not a competitive person, you'll always feel like that little bit of extra push within yourself. I guarantee it.
Well, and even I was teaching in Mexico recently, and I had a girl there who came to my boot camp class with her friend. And she was saying to me, she was like, oh my gosh, like, I literally did not want to come. Obviously, we're in Mexico. She was having some margaritas the day before. But she was like, I feel so much better. And then we were just talking about her obstacles with, like, getting back into her fitness. And that's what she said, one of the biggest things. She's like, I have to be in a group setting. I need someone else there to make me accountable. And That doesn't mean you're weak. Like, it means that you know where you need support. And that's a huge strength. So if you're somebody who's like, okay, I have problems sticking to a plan, get into a group situation, because then again, you're going to have that instant, like, accountability.
Mm-hmm. But my suggestion for that too is look for a group setting that is an actual program and not just group classes, because group classes are so easy to skip. It takes away the accountability, right? Like, if you are signed up for a gym membership and they just have group classes and you're kind of like, oh, maybe I'll go to this class or maybe I'll go to that. Have it set in your schedule. If that's like, you know, what you're going to do, you're going to go. So it's like set. It's like every Monday I go to the spin class, and then every Wednesday I go to this, and put it in your calendar and make a commitment to it, or sign up for something that is a scheduled program like a boot camp where it's like, it only operates on these days and you are committed to showing up on those days, and that's it.
Well, that's why I always...
So that you feel a bit more accountable.
Yeah, like, I always like things like ClassPass, where you can go in as, like, a little taste tester and you can try out stuff. But I'm also a huge believer, and, like, some people are like, oh, I like it because it's constant variety. But I've seen the people who are more successful too are the ones who do the ClassPass, find the program they like, and then stick to one.
Exactly.
Okay, so number three is wearable technology.
Huh. So I have some mixed feelings about this.
So this is where the obsession with data and gadgets and all these new things that are bright and shiny, they're continuing this year. And they're kind of like, I don't know, they're pros and cons to them.
Yeah. And that's why I said I have mixed emotions about this. I can be honest with you. Like, my husband for Christmas bought me a watch, and it wasn't an Apple. It was this crazy, crazy watch. This Garmin, crazy watch.
Oh, Garmin.
Garmin. I'm like, Garmin watch. And it had like everything. Like, it could track everything from, like, my sleeping to, like, my eating to my steps to my calories burned to every single thing, my stress levels. Like, when I was stressed, it would show me, like, exactly. And I asked him to take it back. And he's like, are you serious? Like, this is the best one on the market. I did all this research. And I'm like, I don't want it. Because for me, what it actually does is it creates too much stress in my life. I look at it too much. I'm too worried about, like, did I hit my goals? Did I do enough steps? Oh my gosh, why was I stressed out at that moment? Like, and I start just reading into the data too much. It overwhelms me. And so I found, for me personally, the only information I track is my steps per day, which is like with a pedometer, which is on my phone, like my smartphone. Other than that, I don't track anything else for me personally, because I find that it overwhelms people. And there's actually been research that has shown that people that actually wear fitness tracking, wearable technology and fitness trackers, are actually more depressed than people who don't, because they become so obsessed. It becomes an obsession mentally and emotionally, becomes so attached to it that it actually is creating depression with some people. So it's kind of, I mean, it's totally your own bag, right? Like, it's like whatever works for you. And if this is something that you think is cool and awesome and really helps you track stuff, amazing. For some people, it's just not their thing. And for me, I'm one of those people, it's just not my thing.
Well, yeah. And I think it's really like, you have to either be like a numbers based, very goal oriented, you know, like you need to hit a number, you need to, and we do need data. We do need to understand where we're at to be able to make changes. But I am also the person who tracking for me is too much. So I love my pedometer. The one thing I'll use it for is to make sure I get my steps in. That's what I love.
Yeah. Or, well, for me, it's not to make sure I get the minutes, to show how little I am getting in lately. It's been too cold. I like don't even move anymore. I'm like, oh.
But even for the, like, and I do like how the Apple Watch and some of them, they'll buzz, you know, if you've been sitting for a long period of time to remind you to get up and move, because there's so many times at work where you're like literally, you know, falling into like total work mode and you're like, I haven't even gotten off my chair, you know, and you need to, it's not good for your back. You've got to move around. Like, so there's things about it that I like. And I do think this trend obviously is not going to go away. Like, I think over the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot of crazy stuff coming out. But the reality is that there's no outside thing that is going to make you do your workout. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be shifting your habits. You have to be shifting your mindset. You have to be thinking, you know, I'm an active person. I want to be a healthy person, and putting in that effort, because that's the one thing when it comes to health and fitness, no matter how cool of a gadget, no one can exercise for you.
Sadly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I know.
No one can literally exercise for you. So, and that's the one thing when, you know, even when I think back to when my dad was like, how are you ever going to make money in the fitness industry or a long career? I'm like, Dad, people are always going to need to exercise. Always.
Yeah.
So another little side note and little plug for our fitness and nutrition expert program. If you want to get certified, it's coming up March 28th. So number four is body weight training, which kind of ties into number five as well. So I say we kind of do number four and five at the same time.
Yeah, because four is body weight training and then five is all about strength training. So, I mean, there's the classical strength training, which is like, you know, using heavy weights or even just any kind of weight. And then there's obviously the body weight training, which is where you're just doing like a lot of calisthenic work and a lot of just body weight movements. I think of body weight training almost as like functional movement as well, even though I know that that's another one of the trends below, but I almost think of it from that same perspective.
I always think of body weight training too, as it's always like, it's, well, you want to do both. You want to do body weight training and resistance training, because of course our body adapts. So as you get stronger and your body, you know, stays the same weight or gets like less weight on it, then your muscles will eventually not be able to progress to be any stronger. So if you're looking to put on muscle mass, you're looking to put on more strength, you are going to need an outside resistance, and that could be resistance bands. It could be weights. It could be a car. It could be, you know, picking up logs. Like, there's so many different things, but you need an outside resistance. So I always feel like bodyweight training, like, they go hand in hand, but I also see once you're first starting out, you're doing bodyweight training. And then as you start to progress and get stronger, you are going to need some type of outside resistance.
I think of it that way, but I also think of it as, it depends on where you're at too. Like, if you're at a place where maybe you're recovering from injury, or you've just finished a really heavy lifting program, sometimes bodyweight training is a really good tool to use in between programs. Like, I like doing a lot of body weight training as just like on top of, like, when I'm doing a lot of like yoga and stuff like that, I'll still add in some body weight exercises like push-ups and standard movements, just to kind of keep that like strength up And also, like, even when I was pregnant, I did a lot of body weight resistance. So I guess it really just depends on what you want and sort of where you're at.
Completely. But it is still, if you want to progress.
Like, yeah.
Because push-ups are one thing too for us. It's still hard, you know? Like, the more you do, you can still do more sets. But for squats without a weight, it's like, I could probably do 1,000 squats without a weight.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, and the thing
is, although, have you ever tried doing the every hour on the hour challenge? Have you ever done one of these squats? No, I've done
every minute on the minute, which was
okay. Wow. Well, every hour on the hour, if you try, so everyone listening, just try this just for fun. Okay. For 5 days in a row, every hour on the hour. So from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, every hour on the hour, do 50 squats. Do it for 5 days in a row and just see how you feel. It's Ooh. Pretty awesome.
Challenge not accepted.
It's just really, it's actually pretty okay. Cause it's like, you know, you can do 50 squats in a few minutes, like depending on how fast you go, you want to make sure you're doing them properly, but then you just do it. You have your timer set and every hour on the hour, do it. Even if you just do it for one day, just try it, challenge yourself, see what happens.
And the thing
I like doing stuff like that.
The thing I'm loving right now too, is obviously I like to add to the strength training is that like, mm-hmm. I'm obviously a huge believer in strength training benefits for women, especially for osteoporosis, strengthening your bones, like just to rev your metabolism, especially as we age. Like there's so many benefits to strength training and resistance training, mm-hmm. and body weight training. But I found some really cool, and there's a bunch of them out now, but especially for small spaces, they're like adjustable dumbbells. So, you know, especially we have our Fitchix challenge, and you know, we obviously, for anyone who's doing it at home, you want to make sure you still have enough weight that's giving resistance for your muscles. So if you're lifting 2-pound weights, like that's not enough resistance. So these weights are great because again, you know, you don't want to buy 25 different sets of dumbbells. So it's essentially like one dumbbell that you can crank the thing so it could go anywhere from 5 pounds to 50 pounds. So then you have your heavier weights.
They're like magic. They're so bizarre.
Yeah. And you can find some that are, you know, they're pretty expensive, but you can find some cost-effective ones too. If you look at Kijiji, there's people selling stuff all the time, you know, or the Fitness Depot and things like that. But I really like them. I want some for myself because it's like, I have weights at home, but I only have like 20-pound weights. So then I go to the gym, but then I'm like, for the days that I don't want to go to the gym, then I could still do a really good workout at home if I can adjust it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So number six
is all about educated, certified, and experienced fitness professionals.
Which I love.
I know. And I love that this is actually a trend because in my mind, I'm like, how is this a trend? This should just be like, you know, common, like this should be the common denominator, like that anyone, like that basically anybody who is helping you should be certified. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. With some gyms and some facilities, they will just have people come on board that aren't certified and stuff like that. So that's really important that you check that stuff out. If you are hiring a trainer or doing any group fitness classes, make sure that the people that are educating you or that are helping you are actually certified. But I guess this trend is more about the idea that people are actually starting to really grow and master their craft. And I think that that's, you know, music to our ears.
Completely. And I shared this article with our fitness and nutrition experts in our private Facebook group, because we meet in there every week and we share a lot of info. And it was just so interesting that, you know, we kind of take that as like a no-brainer, but people are really looking for not only just fitness professionals, but like holistic fitness professionals. So certified fitness professionals, but also who are educated in other areas like nutrition, like wellness coaching, life coaching, because we know now that the results come from not just doing the exercise. You need to eat properly. You need to sleep properly. You need to de-stress. You need to actually have someone who can coach you that works, like in a way that actually works for you, not just because it's a cookie cutter program. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think to add to that too, I think that one of the things that's really important is that if you are looking to hire someone to develop a program for you, it's so much better if you are a certified health professional and you have multiple certifications so that you are certified in the fitness side and the nutrition side and the wellness side, because you understand all areas. You can be that one-stop shop so that the program that you provide to clients is something that all complements each other. Because I think that one of the things that sometimes happens is that people will go, say, to a trainer specifically and get a training program. And then if they go to someone else and they get a nutrition program, what if the nutrition program is completely, you know, a calorie deficit program, and then the fitness program is something about building lean muscle? And so, but they're not matching. They're not matching the same goals. And that can happen so often. So when you do get certified and you can get certifications that allow you to provide the whole package and the whole picture to people, you're able to then ensure that they are going to actually reach their goals and that they're not just wasting time. Because then what happens is if someone is doing something that, you know, they are doing the calorie deficit program and then they're doing a heavy lifting program and they're not seeing results because they're calorie depleted and everything else, then they're just going to get frustrated and they're going to stop. And so really your efforts are not being valued because you're not able to actually get the person the results. Sorry, that's my little rant.
No, completely. And it's even, for example, like right now I have a client who's breastfeeding and we are tweaking her program to accommodate that. But if you look at the cookie cutter, it's like, oh, you need to be having X amount more calories just because you're breastfeeding. But she was already carrying a lot of excess weight.
Yeah.
So we're actually not giving her excess calories. Her fear was obviously about like her milk supply, but we're not giving her excess calories until we see what happens. Mm-hmm. Because she already has enough, you know, extra weight on her body that she can make up that difference. So mm-hmm. Anyways, it's just no understanding the nutrition side. So you're not going to tweak the nutrition side because I understand her fitness programming and I understand.
Exactly.
I understand
because, you can, because you're providing all of it.
Yeah.
As her one. Situation.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were just giving the fitness and then she's, you know, having
seeing someone else for the nutrition. Yeah. It ends up just, it could end up just being something that just causes more frustration for them and won't even end up getting the results they're looking for. So being a holistic health professional will just allow you to be able to offer more to your clients.
Totally. So number 7 is your favorite.
I know. It's yoga. And that one is never going away either. It's always on the list and it should be because it's so good. Yoga totally. Is so important. And I think that, you know, whether you're doing it at a studio or you're doing it at home or, you know, you're just adding in some yoga stretches in the morning or whatever the case may be, anything that you can do to help you kind of, you know, balance your body, because that's yoga is really about finding that balance, that equilibrium in your body. And then it's also about finding balance so that everything becomes a bit more of a meditative state where your movement becomes meditative and everything else in your breathing becomes a focus and all that. Like it just, it helps you in so many different frames of your life. So
even though I'm like,
yoga.
I'm so blown away by the different types of yoga that are out now though. Like even today I saw on TV, I'm not even joking, goat yoga. And apparently,
oh yeah, where the goats like step on you and stuff.
But apparently it's one of the most popular, like there's something soothing about
it. It's got to be a fad. It's not a trend.
Yeah. Like
it's like what we were talking about at the beginning of this. It's like, it's going to be something that you go to once and you'd be like, that was hilarious. And then you'll be like, but I didn't like it that it pooped on my mat. And yeah, you know, like
I was watching on TV and
yeah,
like, literally this goat is like, this guy's in like warrior and the goat is like trying to eat his shorts off. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh my God. And then there's like, what's it? Anger yoga where you go and scream.
Yeah, there's so many different types. But again, I think that those are all like the fads. The ones that are like this long lasting are the traditional, like, you know, Ashtanga, Hatha, Mysore style, like any Jiva Mukti, like any of the ones that are like the Anasura, like anything that is, you know, kind of, it's comes from tradition. It comes from like a traditional place. I think that those are the ones that have the long lasting, anything that is sort of those trends, I think, I mean, those fads, I think they'll come and go. They'll always come and go, but you know, be careful. Like also be careful when you are looking at yoga, just to make sure that you know what it is to expect, because a lot of yoga now in today's day are all taught in hot studios, not all, but a lot. Like it's such a trend to have hot yoga. And so if that's something that doesn't resonate with you, or if that's something that you feel is just not good for you, if you have high blood pressure or anything like that, you want to check into that and make sure that you're not walking into a space that you don't feel comfortable in.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to goat yoga anytime soon. I go as a child. I was
they ate my clothes when I was young at a petting zoo.
Me
oh my
too.
Gosh. Maybe
my
it was the same goat.
Naked. I was like, what the heck?
Maybe it was the same goat. Maybe we were at the same place. I don't know. Cause like we both grew up in Ottawa. It could have been.
Okay. So number 8 is personal training. And personal training has always been a part of the top 10 trends because it's not really going anywhere. Everyone there, you know, not, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of people do benefit the most from that personal attention. Obviously, because in that way you get correct form, you get someone who is like undivided attention, hopefully, unless you are have a bad personal trainer
who's like playing Candy Crush while you're running on a treadmill.
Yeah, which happens at my gym all the time.
I see it all the time too. I'm sorry. That, why do you think I came up with that example?
Ugh, it's crazy. I literally think some guy at my gym was Tindering while he was with his client. I was almost like, I need to like post this. I wonder if this will go viral. Like I was like, oh, are you for real? And I think he like actually was like swiping some of the girls that were in the gym. I was like, what is going on here?
Oh my gosh. He did the proximity thing.
Oh yeah. Whatever that other one has happened. But yeah, so for personal training, of course, it's like you are going to pay more, but you pay more for that personalized attention. So they can structure your workout plan for you. They can explain to you how to use the equipment properly. They can offer you that motivation. The only thing too is it is very expensive. So a lot of people, what they do is they see their trainer once a week and then they get their trainer to give them a plan for outside of class. Mm-hmm. So even like with us, with our boot camp, we kind of have a mix of personal training and group training. So it's like people come to the group boot camp classes, but we also give them a plan to do outside of boot camp.
Exactly. So there are group programs that you can find that will provide you similar experiences if you're someone who is a bit more tight on a budget. If you are someone though, I think that personal training is has a really good benefit for anyone who maybe is just starting out in their fitness journey or someone who has maybe taken a break for a while and just needs that kickstart. Even getting a few sessions just to kind of get the ball rolling and get you back into the groove and kind of get you comfortable again so that you're not walking in and feeling that intimidation factor of just trying to figure it out and then ending up just going on the elliptical every day for an hour. It'll help you break up that cycle and give you a bit more of a structure.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So number 9 is fitness programs for older adults. Mm-hmm. And this is something I find very interesting because even looking at a lot of our current demographic, we're really seeing a lot more boomers, like women who are 55 and plus. Yeah. And it's because, you know, we used to think that was, you know, when you're younger, you think 55 is so old and it's not. and you don't just stop exercising because you're getting older. That's actually when you need to be focusing on movement the most because even after 40, your muscle mass starts to deteriorate, your bone density starts to deteriorate. So if you're not paying attention to that, you are going to end up with a host of problems later on. So it's so important that you do have a regular fitness programming to keep you moving, keep you active and keep that muscle and that bone density there.
Definitely. For sure. And I think just, you know, the fact that like the generations, I mean, are like, there's just more boomers out there right now. So if you are someone who is in this industry or who is maybe just starting to think about getting into the health and wellness industry, it might be a niche market that you really want to start focusing on because it's a market where you can really help people kind of, you know, a lot of times too, I find that boomers maybe didn't really pay as much attention to their health and fitness when they were younger because it wasn't as much of a focus as it is today in today's society. So really you might be working with people that need that extra help and they need that extra support because maybe they're not really even sure where to start. So it's a really good niche market if you are someone looking into getting into this industry specifically.
Oh, completely. And you also think too that industry, obviously usually their kids are gone. They have more time. They have more money. All that stuff for our fitness biz people listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then number 10, the last one is functional fitness. Mm-hmm. So we kind of touched on this already.
Yeah. And it's functional fitness is more just about like, it's thinking of ways that it's like doing things basically that you do on a day-to-day basis that is going to help you with your day-to-day lifestyle things. Like, you know, movements that can help you with lifting your groceries or walking upstairs or moving your furniture around, et cetera. So it's thinking about exercising for day-to-day living, as opposed to exercising for, you know, your end goal being a six pack. This is more, I'm exercising for my day to day to make my day to day maybe less, you know, like painless or to make it so that it's got more ease or whatever the case may be.
Well, that's why, and we always have like a lot of moms who are like, I just want to be a healthy mom. I want to be able to keep up with my kids. I want to be able to chase them around. I want to be able to pick them up as they get bigger, you know, like, and that is it's something that
that's probably, functional fitness.
Yeah. And that's something that before you might be thinking like, oh, I just want to look good in a bathing suit. But then especially, again, I think it's as we get older, we start to realize, okay, like I don't want to be winded walking up the stairs. I don't want to be, you know, feeling like my arms are burning to walk and carry my groceries that I have to drive in the car, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's even, so it's kind of, it's interesting though, because functional fitness, like you said, it does really tie into like body weight training, strength training, because those are the actual functional fitness exercises that you're doing in the gym are for your functional day-to-day activities. So mm-hmm. I almost see it like it's not really like its own category, I guess.
I know. I kind of see it as like, I guess it's just the end result is the different category, because the end result for it is more about function-based movement as opposed to, so it would be like, you know, maybe you're not doing, I don't know, let me think, like maybe you're doing a lot more planks and stuff to really build up your core strength, but you're not maybe doing like planks with like plates on your back and stuff like that. Like maybe, like that's maybe the best example I can think of in the moment, but that would be kind of the difference, like where it's like the planks are really good because they're building up that trunk and that core strength. But if you're someone who's trying to build up more of like that muscle definition and stuff, maybe you do throw a plate on your back. That's
me. Yeah, like it's interesting.
That would be kind of, because it's more about the end result than it is about the actual movements.
Yeah, because it's like the way they define it is using strength training to improve balance, coordination, force, power, and endurance to enhance someone's ability to perform activities of daily living.
Yeah.
So, which usually that should be to me the motivation of all exercises, but we kind of turn it into like, I just want to have really big buff biceps, which is always my goal. And my spaghetti arms never want to do it.
You don't have spaghetti arms. Don't talk about negatively about your arms. Come on.
I like my arms. I just, they're the first things if I stop working out or if I miss weights for a while, they're the first things to lose muscle. They just go back to spaghetti. Okay. So those were the top 10 fitness trends for 2018. So of course we'll post them all as well on our blog at fitchixacademy.com. And like I was mentioning earlier, if you're interested, because obviously number 6 is everyone's looking for educated, certified fitness professionals. We do have our upcoming fitness and nutrition expert program starting March 28th. And so you can head on over to our website and get more information on that. We have a 30-page brochure. We have awesome info sessions coming up. We have webinars, all this good stuff to learn more about that. So you can find all that. And if you like our podcast, this is our big ask. If you can please leave us a review, a like, a share, that would be awesome. Because our goal, of course, is to get as many women living happier, healthier, fiercer every single day. Okay. With that, we are saying goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Have a great week. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.